Let's begin our time exploring on the move. Who is on the move? And what are you and I on the move for? And what are we doing? How are we doing this? And so you could say that on the macro level, on the global scale, that Donald Trump is on the move. And he's really on the move. He's really insistent on building that wall. And up to now, there is a stalemate in America. There's an official shutdown of government. And so somebody sent me a cartoon. And in this cartoon, it featured Donald Trump of America and President Xi Jinping of China. And Donald Trump is in China in this cartoon. And Xi Jinping is showing him the Great Wall of China. And the caption is, "It didn't work." You can't build a wall greater than the Great Wall of China. And it didn't keep up the Mongols. And so Donald has to know that. Trump has to know that. He's on the move. And that decision of him being on the move has stalled the entire country. Nations now are on the move. And we are on the move, I'm told. I just read an article in, I think, CNN or BBC, to be the first among nations to implement 5G technology. And what on earth is this? I'm real bad techie. So it's everything I have here is verbatim from the article, right? So I quote from the article. They're on the move to SG. The next big thing in digital transformation has an enormous impact on mankind. Smart cities, robotics, self-driving cars, healthcare, agriculture, education. Goes on. This is where it started to hit me. Where there are wearable devices connected. Healthcare, for instance, will help people monitor and manage their illnesses. Already we're experiencing that. Medical professionals to efficiently screen and diagnose patients remotely. This third paragraph is what caught me. Potential to enable surgeons to robotically operate on patients from thousands of miles away. I don't even know what that means. The doctors, can you please see me after this? Because that's got a scary statement. We lie there on the operating theater, and somebody thousands of miles away is doing something to my body for my good. And so what on earth is 5G if you haven't read up on it and we are on the move? With current networks, it takes approximately 100 milliseconds for information to travel across a network. Milliseconds, right? With 5G, that latency is expected to be reduced to 1 millisecond. And so the punchline of this mad rush and mad movement around the world, hectic movement, is once you have the ability to communicate over a network in near real time, proximity will not be an issue. Isn't that staggering in terms of technological things? But I want to say to you, at the end of everything that we do on the move, right, we have to think. And so we are all on the move, but you need to ask at the end of it for what. And so because Pastor Lak Yong was mentioned, let me just pick up on something and not mention a nephew, the illustration, and then give you the illustration about Adam Road. And so Pastor Lak Yong shared a story, if I'm not wrong, that he was looking after his nephew or his nieces, right? And this nephew and niece was really very cluey and clever. And Pastor Lak Yong is also cluey and clever. He's a former EDB scholar and EDB scholar to France, so quite okay, right? And so he knew that in looking after them for 2-3 hours, he had to plan many things because these children are very clever. And so he planned a series of things and he says, now you go and draw this, now you go and build this, now you go and find this, now we go and play this. And within minutes, that child came back and says, "Finish, done, what next?" And so the question was, what next, what next? And he gave that as an illustration of us. That's our life. You pour all your time and energies into an enterprise, into an activity, and then you ask, what next? What next? We've been here for about 27, 28 years. In the early days, for many years, we saw a Malay man, obviously one of the relatives of the hawkers at Adam Road Hawker Centre. And he obviously suffered from mental challenges. And what would he do as a result of it? We'd find him just walking aimlessly. And how far would he walk aimlessly? Sometimes we found him walking as far as Eng Neo, as far as the upper Bukit Timah area. And when people look at him, right, say, what on earth is he doing? What for? His life is aimless. Can you say, as you go from one activity to another activity, maybe we should ask ourselves that question. In God's eyes, the question may be, as you live from day to day, year to year, is not what next, is to ask what for. As you busy yourself to the detriment of your mind, of your heart, of your life, as you busy yourself to the detriment of your health, don't ask the what next question. Maybe it's more important as 2019 begins that you ask what for. What on earth am I doing this for? From morning to night. So the most important person to note is actually God on the move. And God is on the move through two important persons, the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We pick up this story in Luke 24. Let me read that again for us. Then Jesus, the risen Jesus, said to them, "These are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Can you read for me verse 45 onwards to the end? So God has said to the person and words of Jesus, he's been on the move. He's been on the move to do something about your decoupled life and your derailed life from God, that we have proclaimed independence from him. And because of that, we live in sin and we face death. And so God sent Jesus. And God has poured out his spirit. Can we read this? Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. So, together, they ask him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth." So, Jesus' finished earthly work is continued by the Holy Spirit, who is sent by God and Jesus into the life of the believers. And so God has been on the move to do what? To fulfill his saving purpose. And he has sent his Son as the suffering Christ to do so, to forgive us of our sins and to reverse our death. And this is a life that glorifies him. So the most important thing that you and I need to know as a year begins, as you wake up, is that I do not know who is working and what good is it, but I know God is working. He's on the move, and he's on the move through his Son and his Spirit. And the very fact that we in Singapore, you sit here as Malays, Indians, Chinese, Americans, Westerners, and Asians believing in this, shows that God has been on the move. Where? In your life, in my life. So as you read the book of Acts, there are some indispensables of God's mission. It all revolves around the centrality of Jesus. He's the fulfiller. He's the suffering Christ, suffering not for anything he did, but suffering for everything we did. He hung on the cross to absorb God's wrath against us, for our sins against God. And he rose for us so that death will not be the final word in your life and my life. And now through Jesus and the Father, we receive the Holy Spirit, who works in us quietly, but works in us mightily. And what's the work of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who works in you to say no to Satan. The Holy Spirit is the one who works in you to love God's word and to love God's will, and not to love your word and your will. The Holy Spirit is the one who works in you mightily to put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature and to put on the mind of Christ and the new nature that is given in Christ. Some more indispensables of God's mission. I read for you from Acts chapter 4, verse 3. And so the religious leaders, they arrested them, the apostles, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. As the gospel is preached, more and more Jews believe in the early phases by the thousands. And guess what? Whenever God is on the move, you got to understand this. The next passage. The church grows. The church grows by the power of the Spirit and the preaching of the word. You find the repeated phrase in Acts. The word of God spread, the number of disciples grew. The word of God spread, the number of disciples grew. That's why we must always be a word-centered, Bible-centered church. That's why your life and my life must be increasingly filled and directed and saturated with the word of God, not the word of men, not the word of Satan. Very important. So as the church grows, please take note from the book of Acts for our learning. But Satan counterattacks. As much as God is on the move, Satan is on the move to stop the preaching of the gospel and the growth of the church. And here in chapter 8, we meet Saul. Saul approved of his execution. Have any of you approved anybody's execution? Here is Saul, a true blue Jew, and he hated anything of Jesus, and Jesus' followers were called followers of the way. Why? Because Jesus in early life said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All who believe in him, beginning with the Jews, they were now called followers of the way. And Saul thought that Jesus was anti-law, anti-Sabbath, and anti-Israel, and anti-God. Because his whole life he broke the Sabbath, the whole life he didn't seem to obey the law, the whole life he was anti-Israel, or so it seemed, and so they killed him. And so he carried on. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout. Where? The regions of Judea, Samaria, except apostles. Devout men buried Stephen. The saddest moment in the early church was the death and the martyrdom of Stephen. Listen to his speech in Acts 7. And made great lamentation, sorrowed over him. But the opposite of this, Saul, he was ravishing the church and delighting, thinking that he was doing the will of God. And he entered house after house. Where? Our modern-day version, in Topayo, in Ang Mo Kio. He entered house after house in Punggol. He entered house after house, and he dragged off men. And can you read carefully? Some of us don't mind as men if you're persecuted, but please don't drag off my daughter and my wife. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And so a very important thing to note is God is on the move to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Satan is in a counter-attack mode between the first coming of Jesus and second coming of Jesus, and he will do everything possible to stop the preaching about Jesus, the believing of Jesus, and becoming like Jesus. So as you read the book of Acts, Satan's main tools are persecution, as you see here in Acts 4 and 8. If he cannot strike you with persecution, he will strike you with personal corruption, and you see that in Ananias and Sapphira. On the surface, they seem so much like the people of God. They believe in God's word. They sold their land. They brought some money. But they brought some money, but they lied. Instead of bringing the whole sum, they brought only a part of it. Whatever you do not know about God, you know that God is the God of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth coming from God the Father and the Son. And whatever you do not know about a child of God, we are people of truth. So the first sin against God, and it's spoken of as the first sin against the Holy Spirit, is the sin of lying. Do not take lying lightly. Satan's name is liar. That's one of his main names. Second name is accuser. Then he's called dragon, and then he's called serpent. And so persecution, corruption, then division as the church grew, and then confusion in Acts chapter 15. How should Gentiles be saved? And some of the more strict Jews say, Gentiles must be circumcised. So you got Jesus, but you got a plus circumcision equal true salvation. And that's the Bible reading that we had. It says, no. You never add anything to Jesus. When you add something to Jesus, it becomes Jesus plus. You got Jesus plus, actually it's Jesus minus. Because you add in human effort, you will never be saved. And so we do not burden Gentiles. We say you believe in Jesus. If there are two things we tell Gentiles to do, live. Stop sexual immorality, because we are very loose with sexual immorality. And stop idolatry. Because as Gentiles, we had a whole life practicing idolatry, the worship of self, by worship of self-made idols. And so God is on the move, Satan's on the move. You have to understand this. And then we spoke about it in church history, in the life of Benjamin Kingsbury and Sophia Cook. And we have asked our small groups to read from 1840s to 1880s. The gospel first came to us from England. Benjamin Kingsbury is important to us because Adam Road Presbyterian Church is formerly the daughter church of Prinsep Street, and Prinsep Street is the legacy and the fruit of Benjamin Kingsbury. The church that he planted was called the Malay Chapel. I do not know whether I've showed you a picture of this. Let me say that the church that he planted in the 1840s was called the Malay Chapel. Today, it is not possible by law in our region to set up a church with that name because it will not be allowed. It will bring in all sorts of political and religious connotations that will shut it down. But when the first missionaries came, he was burdened with a heart for the Malays. A little bit about the life of Kingsbury before we come to our situation and end the sermon. He wasn't born in a Christian home. He wasn't a believer. He came in the 1840s, set up a business in Jakarta. The business collapsed. And then very soon around that time, one of his good friends died. And that shocked him to question life. What is life about? He asked the question, what, not what next, what for? And he gave his life to Christ. Soon after that, I'm not wrong, his stepfather passed away and left him an inheritance. How many of you as Singaporeans are going to receive an inheritance? Many of us. What will you do with the inheritance? Eat, drink, and be merry. What do you think Kingsbury did with the inheritance? With that little inheritance that he had, he went to seminary or Bible college in America to train himself to share the gospel. And there he got married. Right? And en route with his wife, they stopped over in Singapore, en route to their prayer and their passion, China. They got off the ship, and he and his wife fell in love with Singapore and fell in love with the Malay people here. And so how long was his stopover? His stopover lasted his whole life, till he died preaching at the Malay Chapel. So a few things to learn about God and His will. Obeying God and His will is never a straight line. Obeying God and His will always has detours. His heart, his prayer, his heart was for China. But God detoured him to Singapore. And God has a way of making a temporary stopover a permanent stopover. Did you not notice that? And that's God's will, what you intended. And his heart initially was for Chinese, but then it became for Malays. Then after he died, the Malay work slowly dwindled off because of many different factors, right? Religious factor, number one. And then it became a Peranakan church. Peranakan, for those who are listening to this on the web, which means the intermarriage between Malays and Chinese. And through time, more and more Chinese. How would he know that in the end, his life and legacy would finally reach Chinese, not in China, but in Singapore? That's God and His wisdom in your life and my life. And so the gospel is growing. You believe that? And God uses very, very unthinkable, feeble and weak individuals to do His work. If Kingsbury was here and asked him, he never thought he'll be mentioned in history books. He never thought he'll be part of God's history here. So how do you know God has been on the move in ARPC? Can you all flip up your handbook? This is how you know, by looking at the front page. Because my wife was saying to me, hey, next year, if we have this photo, where's Wally? You know, there's a cartoon thing, and everything is, every setting is, find Wally. So we're going to put Wally in there. Can you find yourself? I want to say to you, this is my 29th year by God's grace here. When we started, we may be about 40, 50 people at the most, 30 to 40, more rightly. And year by year, the pattern was, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples grew. The word of God spread, and the number of disciples grew. But have we faced Satan's counterattacks? You bet. Personally in our lives, and collectively as God's people. But step by step, as we reach out and understand how to do this sensitively to the culture. So the new things that we are launching, last week, by God's grace, we launched the ARPC Marketplace Ministry, the lunchtime talks, and there was a huge crowd there. Praise God. Amen. which tells you that our people are courageous and brave enough to invite their friends. Where in the financial heartbeat of Singapore, I was so encouraged by that. And God has blessed us with a wonderful venue. Men in their business suits, women in their business suits. And the only response we had to that, we provided free food, a talk, and the response from visitors, Christians, non-Christians, was the talk was too short. I've never heard that in all my life. And so this week, Wednesday and next Wednesday, the talk will be slightly lengthened. Please invite your friends. Because of this tremendous response, we have to keep this going to win people in the marketplace and all the different marketplaces around Singapore. The next thing is this new ministry, the Mental Wellness Ministry, Faith and Mind, a Christian Perspective, and this year on depression, on anxiety, and finally, a Christian perspective on suicide. Why? One of my leaders was just sharing with us that a family friend, and you know, the daughter, 17 years old, just took her life. There were no warning signs from her. In fact, the weekend before she took her life, she had a singing karaoke session with her dad, if I'm not wrong. You put your ear to the ground, and you're hearing this more and more and more. And so, as with the first missionaries who came, they look at the society there. Poor coolies from India, poor coolies from China, poor people all around here. The first things they did, built schools, built hospitals, built orphanages, rescued Chinese girls from the streets because Chinese abandoned their daughters. Girls were second class in Chinese families in the 1800s. We must always, as we have God's wisdom, tune in to what society needs and build the bridges for ourselves to enter into people's lives. And God has blessed us with 80 to 100 doctors in our midst, blessed us with psychologists and psychiatrists, and a combination of professionalism and spiritual food, spiritual feeding is what's going to bring people back to holistic health, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically. Do you believe that? And so, friends, what does that mean for you and me? I pray that you will read this handbook, and all our humble, prayerful plans are set out for us. Let me end how the week has been for us. Do I look slightly more tired today? You can say so. I don't mind. Do my eye bags look more obvious? Because it's been a tiring week, emotionally, spiritually. Because one of our church members is passing on. And so we had to journey with them, spend long hours in the hospital. And the surgeon and the doctor had to come and say to the family, say to the wife, with me there, just listening to this, that we've tried everything medically. It's the end. And to try anything more medically will be to inflict more suffering on him with more intrusions and more operations and more surgeries. So you should prepare. Never easy to listen to that. Never easy. And that's why it's important for us as pastors to be with you spiritually, emotionally. And what do you think the mother has to do? She has to call her child, right, who is now in secondary school. And the child was not told the full story of the severity of the father's ailment, but now she has to be told. And we all have to make those hard choices, how much to tell. And so they're standing in the ICU, and the mother finally tells the daughter, she's perky and bubbly, a lovely girl. And the mother says to her, you know, I told you that that's not too well, that's gone for operation. Yeah, yeah. And she says it that way. Yeah, yeah, I know. And I told you that sometimes operations work, sometimes operations got complications. That operation has complications. And that complications is serious. And that is not going to come out of hospital. And that's when it dawns on her. And she starts to tear, and she starts to shake. And Mona is standing behind the daughter, and I'm standing behind Mona. And she realizes this is the end. And so what can we do? We sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. And then I pray. We say this almost every week in different forms and ways. You will come to the end stage in some shape or form. And God has been saying to you, I have been on the move. I've been on the move because I promise you that you will not be abandoned to the grave. That sin will not be the last word of your life, and death will be not the last word of your life. And the only reason sin will not be the last word in your life and my life, and death will not be the last word in your life and my life, is because God has been on the move to give His Son. And you begin another year by belittling the Lord Jesus. I say to you, you are just moving from and going, what next? You have to ask yourself, what for? What am I living this one precious life for? And I've been to many of those moments. And I thank God for the honor and privilege of being a minister of the gospel. That I'm not seduced into the corridors of power and get deluded that life is just happy, happy, happy. Life under Satan in rebellion against God is sin and death. And Jesus has come to reverse that for you. Believe in Him. That's our true hope. Amen? Let's stand and sing this closing song. And be assured and commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ.